we're continuing looking at the Beatitudes, the surprising, counterintuitive way of looking at life and way of living that Jesus taught and lived out. You're at the end of your rope. You're blessed. Have you lost what's most dear to you? You're blessed. Congratulations. And this week, blessed are the meek, the humble, not proud. And as the Message version puts it, you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't even be bought. There's something really human about the Beatitudes, about all of that. Human, humble, humus, it's all connected. Humus is the word for like earth and dirt and dust. Our humanness. Do you recognize yourself in any of those things? I do, over the past 2 years. And I think Jesus gets it more than anyone. He got it because he went on that journey of humanness. He became human. It was an incredibly humbling process, the Message version says. He went on that journey of becoming human. Myrrh talked last week about loss and grieving and mourning, and that they're all part of our stories in so many different ways. So why the congratulations? What's that all about? As Jesus taught them up that hill, as he taught them, I sense his excitement. And this is what I just keep seeing. I can't get away from it. Do you see it? Terry, did you see that? Does anyone see what word that is? I'm going to do it again. Terry with. Did everyone see that? Yeah. With. I could just probably walk away now, really. Like, because that's the main thing. With. Just a big, massive with. Why the congratulations? Because there's a big, massive with. I think as he taught them, he had in mind such a bigger context. Because he was looking forward to the cross. So that he knew everything was about to change at the cross. He was about to restore the with. I see it all the way through the Bible. This is the Message version, but at the start, it's God walking with us in the garden, with us. And then through the Old Testament, the thing that keeps popping out is the Father's longing. Like, he keeps pointing towards that day. He's like, on that day. On that day. When the with is restored, when the with that was broken, when we decided to decide for ourselves what was good and bad and decide what's best for ourselves and decide where life comes from. We're just going to do it ourselves. We're going to live it on our own. That got broke, you know, it got broken. But he's longing all through the Old Testament is on that day where he's going to bring life again. He talks about, in Isaiah, it talks about like, you know, the desert and the wilderness, and he's going to bring life to that. His longing is always to bring life. So on that day, and then finally, God with us. In Jesus, his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Big, massive with. So he had like in mind this vast panorama of salvation. At the cross, the whole of history has been leading up to this moment of God setting things right. He was going to open the way back to the Father. So I sense his excitement that even in the middle of the humanness and the brokenness of our humanity and our brokenness, he's getting us ready for kingdom life, because he's about to give us a whole new identity as sons and daughters of a God who is Father to us. So why the congratulations? Because in our humanness, when we're at the end of ourselves, in our loss, just as we are, our Father meets us with all that he is. The one who brings beauty to our loss, joy to our mourning, and praise in our despair. If we look at like slide 2, it's just everywhere. Jesus is always going like, don't be scared, I'm with you. Maybe it's why he hates sin, because it's us on our own trying to do life without him. Maybe it's why he can't stand religion and he's always having a go at the Pharisees, because when we're trying to be religious, when we're trying to do it all right, it's us trying to do life on our own as well. Same thing, but a different like disguise. And just look at all that. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. Don't be upset. Don't be distraught. You'll always have someone with you. I will not leave you orphaned. And then at the bottom, at that moment, you'll know absolutely, I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. The question that I've been asking, just sometimes you know when you've just known something for years and you've known it in your head and it's your like adult brain that knows it. So when I hear Jesus, you know, I've heard it and I've read it so many times, like, yeah, I'm with you. And you're like, yeah, yeah. But how often do we skip over it? How often do I skip over that? Do I really get it? Do I really get the with? Like, what even is his tone of voice when he says, I'm with you? Is it like, I'm with you? Like, what does he mean? How intimately is he with us? Sometimes I get the feeling that I just need to become like a little kid again and just say, Daddy, I want to experience every little drop of what you've got for me. And I don't think I get it. I think there's way more. Do we get the with? I don't think I get it. I don't think I get your tone of voice when you say you're with me. I don't think it's my lived experience yet. I know there's so much more. And I want to experience it with every like bit of me. And so there's an invitation to wither. There's an invitation to become like little children. The ancient sort of church described it as charisis, the relationship, the witness of Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus, the Son, like perichoresis, like this dance, like this Greek dance where when, as they dance faster and faster, it becomes blurred. You can't even see where one starts and the other, you know, like ends. And it's this beautiful dance. And we're invited into that when Jesus says, you know, this is what's going to happen at the cross. Like, I'm going to be in you and you're going to be in me and I'm in the Father. And it is like that dance, that beautiful dance. Have we experienced, is that our experience of withness? And all you can do, I mean, all I've done in the past is just like when I think I don't get something, just ask him. Just be like a little kid. Kids ask. So that, you know, Father, show me more. I don't think I get this and I want to get it. Or will I ever even get it? But I just want more. I want you to show me what you mean when you say you're with me. We're not on our own trying to live for him. That was never his intention. In fact, it's the biggest lie. And it always has been. Our ways to try and do life on our own and his way is to join him in doing this life together. It's the thing that distinguishes us. So what would it look like if we practice living and gathering together like he's actually really with us here now? What would it look like if, how much of my life do I do on my own? Where have I yet to start practicing being aware of his presence? And where do I forget that I'm made to walk with him and keep his company and let him be my Father? What if the next time I've got some DIY panic that makes me feel on my own and triggers me, I turn my attention on him, remember he's with me, he delights in every detail of my life, and I invite him in to something that seems so little and mundane? Or what if I'm hit by a feeling of hopelessness as I see my own brokenness and mess or situation? Instead of distracting myself and squashing it down, avoiding it, I remember that he's fully committed himself to being my Father. And he invites me to run to him, not stay away, and to make myself at home in his love. I find that I can oscillate between two things, like feeling too good about myself and feeling like shame. But both of those things are me trying to do life on my own. And I'm just starting to try to walk with him and practice what that looks like. What if I just start to let him in a bit more? What if we together deliberately take baby steps to developing a habit of asking him wherever we are, whoever we're with, Jesus, what are you up to? What are you saying? What do you want to show me? The verse that we're looking at today is like the third beatitude. And it's so the blessed are the meek, humble, not proud, humble. Remember, that's like human. They shall inherit the earth. And the thing that stood out for me is, first of all, like the word inherit. Because that implies not going and getting, but receiving. Like children. Trust in a totally different way. Because it made me think, well, Jesus was speaking to people who were under Roman occupation at the time when he was there on that hill talking to his followers. They had the idea of empire in their heads. That was a massive thing. That was what they were used to. Taking the earth, acquiring by power, conquering so you can boast big and success. But in what he says, blessed are the meek at the bottom there. The humble, not the proud. They'll be given the earth. It's the idea of inheritance. That a kingdom's given by the Father. An inheritance is simply received because of whose child I am. Empire versus kingdom. How much of my life am I still trying to do on my own, trying to impress my Father? Building an empire to my credit. The Father's not interested in the empires we build. It's been hard for me to take that and swallow it. His delight is to be father to sons and daughters who trust and receive. Somewhere else in the message, or actually it's in the Passion Translation, and I can see it's Matthew 11. Jesus says, yes, Father. Your plan delights your heart as you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children. We see this in Jesus. Jesus showed us what humble looks like. He didn't go get his own way. Try and prove himself even when tempted. Like if you look at like in the desert where he's tempted, he just keeps saying like, if you're the Son of God, go and prove it, prove it. And he's like, no. He received everything from the Father because he trusted that his Father is good. Constantly submitting himself and everything to his Father. Choosing to live every detail of his life in the light of who his Father was. I think that's what a son is, and it's what we're invited to. All of us. I've got a little conversation that I wrote, I think, just a little while ago. I want to come to you arms full of stuff to impress you. Things I can boast in. I want to prove my worth to you. But you say, do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. I find this really hard to swallow. Step down, be a servant. So counterintuitive. I want to make something of myself. I want to prove myself. It reminds me of being like a little kid. All they know how to be is themselves. Just who you are. No more, no less. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, but I'm not on my own. Father, here you are. with all that you are. And you're enough. And we're in this together. And you'll never leave me. So yeah, congratulations in your humanness. Because with this place of weakness, where you're just yourself and it feels small, and it reminds me of like the bread and the fishes thing, where you're just like, it's like, give us what you've got, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's small. It's just this. But you know what happens then? This place of weakness, nothing to impress or hide behind, no medals to put on display or stuff to post on Facebook. That's where I'm at. I don't have anything impressive to put on Facebook. Something about being in this place of stripped backness can feel uncomfortable. It can feel excruciating. And I want to run and hide or avoid. But congratulations. Maybe when it's all stripped back, that's when we stop trying to do life on our own. And we let ourselves be met by our Father. And we start to live the with. And slide three, basically the two things, just that, just dead simple. The invitation to with, and the invitation to ask him, and to keep asking him. That's what I'm up for. I'm just going to keep asking him, like, show me what you mean. Show me how with me you are. And the invitation to become like little kids and just say, I don't think I really get it. I don't get all that you mean by with. So just with that invitation, like, will you, should we like stand together? If you can, if you're able, if you want to. And let's just. Just wait on him, and I'm just going to pray for us. Father, we don't just want to know things in our heads. It's just not enough. Will you really, will you come and speak to our hearts about the with? Will you show us what you mean when you say you're with us? Will you help our hearts really get that invitation? Will you help us to experience of who you are. You want to be to us. Like all that you want to be to us.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who